You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
He's got Exodus 14. Verse 13, I was in Fulham this morning. I was did a men's breakfast for Pastor Brandon. He arranged for a men's breakfast with him, with me speaking to some of his guys. And so we had about 10 guys there this morning. We met in McDonald's. We just took over that place. There's like a long table. We were like the knights of the long table, man. And so we were there. We were talking and they were asking me questions. And so he's got a good core of men already developing in the Fulham church. And then after that, we all went to his building, and he had guys setting up the chairs, and he's got sisters setting up on the PA and the keyboard. He's already got a PA guy now, a guy that's on the PA, and all of that there. He had a lady who's in praise and worship now, helping them with the praise and worship. And so I preached, and people were amening, and it really just felt like preaching in a smaller Wandsworth, but our spirit, God is really there. And at the end of the day, I think we must have had, I didn't count, but it was at least 6 to 8 people that prayed. Amen. Amen. And so, listen, we're not going to stop praying for them.
No.
We're not going to stop contending for them. And we're believing God. And I'm telling you, I'm so proud of them. They're doing a tremendous job there. It's serious. It's just wonderful spirit. They're looking for a new building now. And so they're challenging the church to look for a new building. They recently had revival with Pastor Jamil. And so we said, you know, as the pastor, I said to them, listen, we want you to have a revival, 2 revivals. This year. And so I said to them, listen, have Pastor Jamil have another revival. We'll cover the cost of all of that revival. Anything that it costs, we're the parent church. We're going to take care of that. And so he had that revival with Jamil. Many people saved. I think I mentioned he had over 58 people on the Sunday of the revival. And at the end of the revival, when I was ready to write the check, how much to cover all the costs, the love offering, all of that? He said, Pastor, don't worry. We've covered it.
Amen.
We've covered it. And so there are people there giving. And so I'm telling you now, it's a wonderful thing to think that our church, that's you and me, that's not just me, that's you and me. God has used us to birth a church there. That church is alive, it's growing. And listen, it's the first of many.
Yeah.
So I'm excited, I'm on a buzz, amen. But let's get down to business today. We started a series last week, Rescued. And we spoke about basically how Pharaoh had treated the children of Israel, stole their identity. We spoke about when you don't know who you are, you're easily enslaved. You're easily controlled when you don't know who you are. And we spoke about if you want to know who you are, you first need to know whose you are. See, I get confidence in knowing who I am. Not because I'm Courtney, my surname is Lowe. Thank God for my family, but that's not what's confidence. It's not because of my height. I'm, you know, almost 6 foot, but, you know, that doesn't, I don't have confidence. What's going on? It's not because of that. It's not anything that really gives me that confidence. What gives me the confidence is I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I know whose I am. I belong to God.
Amen.
I belong to Him. To you, I may be too short, too tall, too skinny, too fat, too light, too dark, too whatever. Well, too bad on you, because I know who I am, because I know whose I am. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. So I can walk with my head held high, shoulders back, because I know whose I am. And the devil can't enslave me, rob me, or push me around because I know who I am, because I know whose I am. But today I want to kind of look again at this Exodus story. When I was a kid, I used to watch these, horror films. And at the end of the horror film and the stupid films, and they, it's going to monsters trying to get them in the dark. And, there's a dark house and they're going to go into a dark house. And like, no one would go in that dark house like that. You know, there's always a horror film, isn't it? They've got to go in a dark house. No one would go. And they try to switch the lights are all not working. If normal people are like, I'm not going in there. But one skinny little Margot woman, she's going in there. You're like, don't go in there. That's, that's Hollywood. That's what they do, But at the end of the film, and they kill the monster, and the monster dies, and you're like, yes, it's over. And then they, yeah, it's over. And all of a sudden, the monster comes back again. You seen that type of thing? Well, that's what we're going to see here, is that the children of Israel, Moses goes into Egypt, says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. 9 plagues hit Pharaoh, the frogs and the blood and the locusts and the boils and all of this stuff. And then the last plague, which is the Passover, which is the firstborn of Egypt, die. And this is when Pharaoh is devastated. This is the killer blow. This is bow. This is the killer blow. Up until that point, God was just jabbing. God was just mucking about. That's what he was doing, just mucking about with him. Yeah. That's all he was doing. And then God's like, I'm ready now. Boof. Ready for you. Pharaoh goes down. Yeah. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh says, get out of here. The children of Israel go to the Egyptians and say, give us your gold. They give them their gold. Praise God. And then they leave Egypt with their gold. They're out of Egypt. This is like salvation. This is almost like, yes, a powerful salvation. I'm saved. This is what it's like. It's rah, rah. This is what it's like. I don't know what that is. But this is what it is. It's like, yeah, I'm saved. I'm excited. I've got saved. And it's almost like, yeah, just go into the land. And it's almost like you think, and they lived happily ever after. But the Bible says, no. Pharaoh somehow, not somehow because he's demonic, but he, inside of him says, nah. When they're leaving, they've left Egypt. He says, no, I'm going to get them. I'm going back for them. We thought it was over. We thought he was out. Then he resurrects. He's coming back. And the Bible said that he pursues them. He pursues the children of Israel. I want to see how God rescues them. And we're going to learn how God can rescue us. Exodus, this is after Moses has led the children of Israel out. And now Pharaoh is coming down on them. They're looking back. They can see 600, so what, chariots, men of war coming after them. And the Bible says that they're afraid. And Moses says these words to them. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more ever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move in this service. We pray, Father, for a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit. We need your presence, Heavenly Father. We can do nothing without you, Lord God. Father, we will only have the victory in you. Come down in this place. Magnify Jesus in this place. We ask you this, and all God's people said,
amen.
Pharaoh pursues the children of Israel. He lets them go. They're now out of Egypt, but they're not out of danger. You're out of Egypt, but you're not out of danger. He's pursuing them. And I want to say to you today is that this is how the enemy works. That you get saved, but he's going to pursue you.
Yeah.
You've come out of the world, you're saved out of your sin, you're in church, you've come to the altar, you've prayed, people have taken you to the back, they've given you little booklets, little details, you're in, yeah, I like this church, you're saved, you felt good, your sins are forgiven. How many know it feels good to be saved? It feels good to know my sins are forgiven. It feels good to know that, that God is in my life. But you're out of Egypt, but you're not out of danger. Because the enemy, your enemy, my enemy, the devil, is just like Pharaoh. He pursues us. Just because you got saved and came down to the altar, the devil's not like, you know what, that's it, we lost. Win some, you lose some. Okay, you know what, that's it now. Let's draw a line under that. Let's leave them alone. They're saved. No, no, no. That's not how he works. That's how people think. People think, because I know that's how people think like that, because they get saved and then they start to go through things and it's like, what's happening? Because you thought when you'd get saved, that is it, the devil's going to leave you alone. You thought you'd get saved and he'd be like, oh, they're saved. Oh, darn it, we missed them by a whisker. We could have got them there. I just nearly had them. No, he's not like that. Okay, that's it. Give up and go home. He's like, no, 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 no. Listen, listen, listen. There's a book. It's called Screwtape Letters. It was written by a guy called C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, he writes this. It's like a book, which is like a fantasy book about how demons would be. It's like a storyline book. And so in the book, he speaks about, like, it's one demon to another demon. And one of the younger demons says, oh, you know, the guy I was trying to torment, he got saved now. And he's like, yeah, it's over. And the older demon says, listen, man, the game's just started. Hey, many of them go and we bring them back and they become even better for us when they go and they come back. We can torment them even more. We can use them even more. They're more of a poster child for us to discourage others from going. See, you could be powerfully saved. Powerfully saved. You could have a powerful healing. You was powerfully filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of the other powerful things that you could happen to you in church or with God. But that doesn't mean he's not going to pursue you. He's still going to pursue you. Listen, they were led out of Egypt in a powerful way. God came down, the angel of death comes down, and he just destroys Pharaoh's pride and confidence, strikes his firstborn. The Egyptians are decimated emotionally, mentally, spiritually. They just realize, listen, Pharaoh, let these people go. Otherwise, Egypt is going to be destroyed. See some sense. Come on, just let them go. Get them out. Give them gold. Kick them out. God has demonstrated powerfully. And you may have a powerful testimony, a powerful conversion, powerful experience. But the devil is going to say, listen, I'm pursuing you. I want you back. The devil said, I want you back. The devil will always have you back. The devil's still got your place reserved. He don't get rid of your space. Because he wants you back. The Bible shows us there is a spiritual dynamic to this. Luke 11:24. The Bible says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, when an unclean spirit is cast out of somebody, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. He goes through dry places seeking rest. So the Bible says, when an unclean spirit comes out of somebody, that spirit is now in a thirsty state, a tormented state, an agitated state. He's agitated. He's desiring to satisfy his thirst for sin in a body. And now he's out of a body. It's almost like he has no way to satisfy that thirst he has for sinful activities. And he's going to and fro and he's not finding anything. And the Bible then goes on and says, he says, this is what the demon says, I will return to my house from which I came. You see how the devil sees us. Demons see you as a house. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to decorate you, put his pictures up inside of your own heart. He wants to move in. He wants to bring in his sofa and his TV and his cappuccino maker and just sit there and sip in your life and take over your life. That's what he says. Listen, I'm going back to my house. He says, I'm going back to my house. And you listen to what he says. My house belongs to me. From where I came out of. And he says, and when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. So he finds the house all sorted out now. It's better than when I left. Then he goes, but listen, he doesn't find it filled. That's the problem. He finds it fixed up, but not filled. It's fixed up, but it's not filled. It's not filled. And there's many people in the church, you fixed up, but you ain't filled. You ain't filled with God yet. You're fixed up. Yeah, you start, I don't do this and I don't do that. Wonderful. But you ain't filled. And the Bible says, he comes in, he says, yeah, this yard, hey, this yard's fixed up. But he don't just move in. Listen to what he says. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. He goes down to the ends and says, hey, bro, man. Hey, I've got this wicked yard. And he's bringing seven more wicked than himself. Then the Bible says, then they enter and dwell there. They live there. They squat there. They make it their domain. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. That tells us there that even though you get saved, and even though that spirit is cast out of you, it's coming back for you. Yeah. It's pursuing you. It wants to re-enter your life. There are things that want to re-enter your life. You get saved and now things are coming for you. This is why when you get saved, you come to church, you get saved, you're doing well, and then your phone rings and it's your ex-boyfriend. Satan is pursuing you. Pharaoh's pursuing you, man. Pharaoh's not happy. Pharaoh's like, okay, yeah, you won this one. Yeah, you got away from me, but I'm gonna send a chariot, and your ex-boyfriend is riding in it. He's coming for you, man. You were so on fire, you deleted his number, and a number comes, you don't even recognize it. You answer it, hello, yeah, praise God. Oh my days, it's you. Yeah, I was just thinking about you. You need to start thinking about Jesus. Think about getting saved. Think about getting a job. Problem is, that was the boyfriend that he was cheating on you, beating you, lying on you, doing all types of madness on you. Many times a guy gets saved, and now he's saved, he's serving God, he's a disciple. And now he's finding more and more. He goes to the work, the girl at the work is flirting with him, is on him. As he's going to and fro from his house, he keeps seeing the same girl on the street. One of the neighbors, one of the girls from around the way. Now she's all right. He's thinking, but yeah, I got it, man. He's getting offers he's never had before in his life. Women are just coming out the woodwork, throwing themselves at him. And he really, yeah, bro, you know who you are. Before you got saved, you was struggling. You was struggling. Yeah, you know, some got it, some haven't. Listen, ain't nothing about some got it, some haven't. You know you ain't got it. That's Pharaoh pursuing you. That's Pharaoh with a wig. Pharaoh with some eyelashes. Or some stilettos, man. Pharaoh's coming after you. You get saved, you start to get all types of offers. I remember getting saved before I got saved. I was into the music industry. I was trying to make music, hang out with friends. We were doing music, mixtapes, demo tapes, all of these things. I was big into, I loved this. This was my life. And it was going nowhere, man. Nowhere. It was just, no, it just wasn't going anywhere. It was just, nothing was happening. Nothing materializing. As soon as I get saved, people start offering me things. Offering me free studio time. But I could only go there on a Sunday. See, I wasn't that clever, but I was clever enough. I said, how come it's only on a Sunday and I've been saved now a couple of weeks? People calling me up, hey bro man, we got this thing and we're making an album, why don't you come down? So and so gave us your number. Things were coming out of the woodwork. You see, because listen, when you get saved, you are saved, praise God, you're rescued, but the devil is pursuing. He will pursue you. This is why many times you get saved and you start to feel more, it's almost like things get worse before they get better. This is why there are people that they get saved and then they start to feel more depressed than before they were saved. They were like, I never even felt this much depression when I was unsaved. Because the devil is trying to pursue you. You start to feel lust like you ain't never felt before. Pride like you never would have imagined. The enemy's pursuing you. See, in Exodus 14 verse 3, it says this: for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. See, this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to bewilder you. The word bewilder means to perplex, to puzzle, to confuse. When you go through this situation, the devil is pursuing you and he's going to be on you because he wants to bewilder you. He wants you to start to become perplexed and puzzled and confused. This is when you're out of Egypt, but you're not quite in the land yet. Yeah. You're out of Egypt, but you're still not fully in the land yet. This is your transition period. The devil wants to attack you at that transition period. Because there's always going to be a transition period. When you're serving God, what's the transition period? The transition period is when you've let go, but you haven't yet received. Transition period. You come into church, you let go of that boyfriend, but you haven't received a new one yet. It's a transition period. You've let go of selling drugs and making money, and you ain't got no money yet because God ain't given you a job yet. That transition period. This is where many people are bewildered, perplexed, bamboozled. This is where they become discouraged and leave God and leave Christ. And the enemy basically has pursued you at that point, grabbed you and dragged you back to Egypt. Because this is how he works. This is his MO, his mode of operating. See, listen to what they say. Verse 12, it says, is it not that the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? See, this is what the children of Israel, God's people, are saying to them. They see Pharaoh coming behind them to pursue them. They're scared. And they turn to Moses and they say, listen, Moses, did we not tell you? Leave us alone. Did we not tell you that? We told you, leave us alone. But no, you wouldn't listen. You had to make trouble for us. Come up all up in Egypt telling us about let my people go. Drag us all the way out here. We told you, leave us alone. Listen to what they haven't even finished yet. They said, for it would be even better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They said it would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt than die out here. Actually, when you read even more, this is what they said. Is it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? That's what they said to Moses. They said, listen, is it because there was nowhere to bury us? There was a trick. You brought us out here so they could kill us and bury us out here. This is how they respond. And we can laugh at that. And we're like, my days, ungrateful joke. But under the surface, what they're saying is, it's better to be a slave in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness. Have you ever thought, it was better when I was a sinner? Have we ever, come on, let's be honest now. Let's be honest. Has it ever crossed our mind when we're going through that transition, when we're perplexed, when we're battling and struggling, when we're out of Egypt but not out of danger, when the enemy is pursuing us, the Red Sea is in front of us, that we've ever thought, it was better in the world? When your old life starts to look better than your new life. See, some of you, you're looking at me like, what is he talking about? You ain't been saved long enough yet. That's all I'm saying to you. You can look at me like, because you just ain't been saved long enough yet. Maybe you ain't saved. See, there comes a point sometimes when the enemy's on you and he's attacking you and he's pursuing you, and you're in that transition period where you haven't yet seen God. You're out of Egypt but not out of danger, that the old life starts to look better than the new life. When you actually look back to the old comforts. This is what they say. Listen, it was better for us in Egypt. Listen, in Egypt, at least we could just chill. We had our own house, man. I know it was only a little hovel. I know it was just a little slop hovel. I know we were getting beaten and whipped, but we had a little few things going on. When you start to look back at the old comforts, you start to reminisce about being in that boyfriend's arms. Because now you're just lying in bed alone. Listening to praise and worship. Listening to wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. There is. And I wouldn't mind some arms around here. Start to look back and be comforted. See, because you're a Christian, you're living clean. You're a Christian, you don't sleep around. Christians don't sleep around. Christians don't have sex outside of marriage. Christians don't. So when you're trying to live clean and you're lying down in your bed alone, because you're a Christian, you're single, the devil's pursuing you. And you'll start to feel. But you forgot about those arms, man, when they were whacking you. You forgot about those arms that were around another sister. That were cheating on you. Lying on you. You forget about that because they forgot about being whipped and beaten within an inch of their life in Egypt. And now they're saying, oh, but it was better in Egypt. See, what we do is when we're in that transition period, we start to change the reality of our past. We start to look back at our past like it was, yeah, remember back in the day, it was happy. The devil only reminds us of the good days. In the world, it was a good day. God, oh, you'll start to think, I remember when I was hanging with my boys. We'd be there hanging out, listening to, I don't know who they were listening to, Dre and Eminem or whoever. You're listening to all this, oh yeah, and then we're listening to this, and we'd be hanging out and doing all of this stuff and playing games and smoking weed and doing all of this stuff, talking about girls. But you forgot that you were depressed. You forgot that you were scared of your life. You walk into a room, you're not sure, do I know him? Does he know me? You forget that you couldn't even go from one borough to another borough without it being called slipping. You can't even, I'm free. You're not free. You're stuck in one little postcode. Riding around on your mountain bike with one little postcode. Yeah. Man's running things. You're not running nothing. We forget that. See, there's times when I've gone through some transitional periods where I start to, oh my days, I was having fun, man. I start to feel, listen, can I be honest with you today? I'm going to be honest with you today. That I've gone places and smelt smoke and, oh yeah, I remember, yeah, I went to there, I had a good time, man. Oh yeah, that music was playing. Oh yeah, yeah, that rave, yeah. Listen, it's a lie. When I got saved, I was depressed, man. Depressed. I was 22. About a month before I got saved, I remember going into a rave, and I was there, and I was there for about an hour. I went in about 1 o'clock. I was there about two. It wouldn't finish till in the morning, 4 or 5. I was in there an hour, and I walked around, and I walked out. Yeah. I walked around, and I went there with some friends, and so we just wanted to go there, get drunk, check girls, and, you know, whatever. And so I went in there for an hour. I was like, all right, let me walk around. So I walk around, and then as I was walking around, I was like, this is pointless. It just hit me. It was like, I've done this so many times. There's nothing in this. And I walked around and walked out. About half an hour later, my phone rings. I was back at home. My friend, hey, where are you? And I could, in the background. I just said, I'm at home. What? Where did you go? I said, home. I said, what's wrong with you now? Something's happened. I was empty. Yes. I was empty. Nothing could fulfill me. Drugs, alcohol, women, it couldn't fulfill me anymore. It couldn't. I was empty. Empty, empty, empty. But sometimes when I've been saved and I'm in that transition, I start to think back and like, yeah, I was having a good time. Yeah, I did this and I did that. And I have to be awoken out of that foolishness. Because really, all it is the devil is pursuing me. See, the predicament of the children of Israel is they've come out of Egypt. And then when you read the whole story, I don't have time, is that God has kind of turned them. And he's not really led them directly to the promised land. If you look at it on the map, he's kind of made them turn. And he's taken them, he's not direct way, he's actually led them in a way where they're going to be cornered. He's actually led them that way. And you'd be like, why would you do that? He's led them to a position where they have trouble on every side. There's a phrase, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, they were between the devil and the Red Sea. See, all in front of them is the Red Sea. And all behind them is Pharaoh's 600 strong, I think, armies coming down on them. And they're coming to massacre them. They're coming to do business. There are seasons in your Christian walk where you're saved, you're born again, but really all you see in front of you is the sea. Yeah. And now, and the enemy is coming behind you. See, the sea stands for that which is unpassable. Yeah. Where you're saved, you know you can't go back, but to go forward, it seems impossible. Yeah. Where living this single life seems impossible. Dealing with this marriage is impossible. Maybe it's a sickness or an issue with your child, or you fill in the blanks. The sea represents something which is unstable, untamable, dangerous. The sea is what represents chaos. When you look before you and your life looks chaotic. Think about it now. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But sometimes when we look at our lives, it feels chaotic. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Like, come on, Jesus, man. We've read about you. You could just get up in that, roll up in that boat and say, peace, be still. But all before you is chaos. This is not the time to go back. Listen to what Moses tells the children of God. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. He tells them, hold your peace. You know, this is, he tells them to stand still and hold your peace. This is not, you know, think about it now. Stand still, hold your peace. Don't do anything. He's telling them, don't do anything. Don't do anything, don't say anything. This is not inaction. This is not to say, just be lazy. He's not talking about inaction. What he's talking about, faith in action. Yes. He's saying, I want you to trust in God. Yes. I want you to trust in me. See, he doesn't say, lie down and be still. He says, stand. Yes. tells them to stand. Hold their peace. Stand. See, God is going to do it. God is going to get you through it. The enemy is pursuing you, but God is going to get you through it. See, four things we learn from this, just this text. The first thing is a release from fear. He releases them from fear. Because Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand still. The second thing is he reveals deliverance. He reveals deliverance. Because what he says to them, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to reveal deliverance. He's going to reveal himself as a deliverer. He's allowed you to be in that predicament so that he can come down and reveal himself as a deliverer. Amen. You're at a position, you're right, a perplexing, confusing position right now. Everything you see before you. Oh, God says, listen, I release you from fear. Yes. And I come down and reveal myself as a deliverer. See, the problem with many Christians is that they go back to Egypt before God reveals himself as a deliverer. You keep going back. You keep going back to that boyfriend. You keep going back to that girlfriend. You keep going back to that old drug dealing ways. You keep going back. You keep going back to what you feeling. You keep going back. That's why you've never seen him as a deliverer. You've got to stand still to see him come down as a deliverer. Yes. You've got to remain in your place. Yes. He says, I'm going to remove danger. He releases from fear. He reveals deliverance. He removes danger. He says, you see that Pharaoh that you see today? After today, you will never see him again. You will never see him again. Can I say to you today, there are battles that God can bring you through that the victory is forever. We don't need to be walking around confessing, oh, you know what, I'm just a recovering alcoholic. No. I will never see that again. I'm free. I'm liberated. You can be free. He says, you see that Pharaoh? Imagine hearing these words. When the children of Israel, when they would have heard Pharaoh, shivers would have went down their spine. Pharaoh, the oppressor. Pharaoh, the oppressing king. Pharaoh, who beat and whipped them and made them do all the things they didn't want to do. Pharaoh, and God says, listen, that Pharaoh that tormented you, that tormented your mom, that tormented your mom's mom, that's been tormenting you for all of your generations, after today, you will never, ever see him again. God said, I'm going to rescue you from that tormenting spirit. Amen. I'm going to rescue you from that lying devil. And the Bible says, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Basically, God says, listen, I'm taking off my jacket and I'm coming down. That's what God's saying. Listen, he's like, listen, don't fear. I'm releasing you from fear. I'm going to reveal myself as a deliverer. I'm going to quash this enemy. Deal with him one time. Gabriel, hold my jacket. That's what he's saying. The Lord will fight for you. Imagine that you're in a battle. All right, come, let's go. And then something taps you on the shoulder. Big guy. Listen, I'm fighting for you. Hey, go for it, man. Yeah. Woo! Amen. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is going to come down and fight for you. Amen. The Lord is going to come down and fight for you. The Bible says that he comes down and he divides the sea. He divides the very sea. He brings them through. What are you going? What is in front of you right now? What is hindering you right now? What is your fear? What is perplexing you? What is so difficult? So long you cannot jump over. So wide you cannot get around. So deep you cannot get under. What is it? Can I say to you today, God can bring you through that situation. God can rescue you and bring you through it. I don't care what it is. He came down and split the Red Sea. The Bible says that they walked on dry land. They walked through it on dry land. And then he uses the same sea to destroy the enemy. Pharaoh thinks, yeah, I'll have some of that. You won't have some of that. That's just for us. People say, we don't believe in those type of miracles. Yeah, how did the children of Israel get across? Well, it was the movement of the earth and the moon and the tide and what it was. There was only like a foot of water. Only a foot of water. That's even a bigger miracle. How's that a miracle? Well, then in a foot of water, how did God drown all the army? That's a bigger miracle. Foolishness. God came down and he split the Red Sea. See, the very thing that is hindering you, God will bring you through. God can bring you through the sickness. God can bring you through this sickness. He's going to bring you through. He's making a way through that sea. God can bring you through poverty. God's going to bring you through that poverty. God's going to bring you through that loneliness. God's going to bring you through it. No matter what it is that you're up against it. Pastor, I'm up against it. God's going to bring you through. And the very thing that was stopping you is the very thing now that God uses to destroy that which was chasing you. No, you didn't get that. Because this is how bad God is. Let me tell you that. God, you didn't get it. I know you never got it. I can see on your face. What is he talking about? Think of something that's hindering you right now. That's what's in front of me. That's the chaos in my life. The devil's chasing me. This thing is pulling me back to the old life. I'm struggling with this. God makes a way through the very thing that's stopping you. Then when you get through it, he uses that very thing to destroy the thing that's actually chasing you. See, if you actually look at the translation where it says, you see these Egyptians that you see today, you will never see them anymore. Really, what it's trying to communicate is this. God is saying, I'm glad that you've seen the Egyptians because you're never going to see them again. And then you're going to know that I'm a protector, a provider, and I'm fighting for you. That's what God was saying to them. I'm glad that you've seen this guy. I'm glad that you've seen that thing. I'm glad that you're going through this because I'm going to deliver you in such a way that you're going to know that I'm bad. Yes. See, all of us, we want the big, powerful testimonies, but we don't want to go through the test. Someone stands up and testifies, yeah, I was dead and they came and prayed for me and they resurrected me. And they were like, praise God. Oh, I wish I had a testimony like that. No, you don't. Because you don't want to go for no trials. Because you chipped your nail and never came to church. We all want a deep testimony, but we don't want no deep test. See, this is why the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? Like, because you've conquered. Once you've conquered, you've conquered. How do you be more than a conqueror? Because not only have you conquered the thing that was trying to destroy you and fight you, but now the very thing that was trying to destroy you and fight you, you've conquered it, and now it's used for your benefit. That's the position God wants to give you. Through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. You're more than a conqueror, not because you're so spiritual, not because you've performed so well, not because you're so powerful, not because you're so good looking, not because you're so organized and faithful. You know why you're more than a conqueror? Through him. This is why God says, just stand still. Just stand, just stay in your place. To stay in Christ. Yes. You're trying to figure, yeah, you know what? Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a boat and swim out and then just row myself over this Red Sea. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go on Google. How do you build a boat? That's what you're trying to do, isn't it? God says, listen, sister, stand still. Yeah, I'm going to go to work, and that guy, I'm going to give him some tracks, and he's going to get saved, and then I'm going to bring him to church. You're trying to... Hey, we know. You know what? I need to go and take swimming lessons. Yeah, I can swim across this. Breathe. No, stand still. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. It's not you doing it. God is coming down and he's going to rescue his people. He's going to bring you through this. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can come in between you and the love of Christ. Nothing. No strategy of hell. Come on, man. We need to really believe this. He's saying, I am persuaded that neither death, not even death, can separate us from the love of Jesus. Nor life. Not, there isn't an angel. There isn't a principality. That's like a kingdom. A region of kings and hierarchies. They can all strategize together. Nor any power. Nor thing present, nor thing to come. That's not even in eternity is anything. There's no height. There's no depth. Come on. What is he saying? Listen, you can make it. See, listen, in this world there's going to be many seas. There's not just one Red Sea. There's going to be many Red Seas. And when you come up against those Red Seas, you've got to do, again, stand still. I say, you know what, I'm waiting on God. God's going to bring me through this. Stand still, hold your peace. God's going to bring me through this. Jesus is the one. He loves me. He's making me more than a conqueror. See, there's always going to be a sea. You go for a period of where, yeah, things are going well, and then there's another sea. And the last sea is death. That every single one of us are going to come to that sea. Death. That great, deep, unknowable. We're all heading for that sea. But in Christ, even in death, he makes a way through. He's going to make a way through for us. That though we physically die, we will not spiritually die. Yes. Those that are born again only die once. The Bible says we will physically die, but we will not experience the spiritual death, which is hell and separation from God. Listen, if you're born twice, you die once. If you're born once, you will die twice. That means you will physically die. Close your eyes. And then you will open up your eyes in death. Separated from the God who created you. Jesus will bring us to that place. This is why the Christian is not scared of death. This is why the Christian can look death and be like what Moses said. Stand still and hold my peace. Because God is making a way and he will split death and I will walk through on dry land to be with my Heavenly Father. Jesus makes a way. The Bible says, listen, for the Christian, this is our hope. Revelation 21 verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is just for us Christians. Listen, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved because you ain't going to see this. Because at this point, you're going to be in hell. Tormented. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Every sea will be done away with. all chaos and torment and fear and instability, we would have crossed over the last sea of death. And he has made a way. Christ has rescued us. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.